Hey, if you could turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to jump in here today. Ephesians chapter 6, let me get here. Verse 17 is where we're going. This morning we're going to continue our series, Take Your Stand. Take Your Stand. And if you don't know who I am, I'm Matt Holloway. I'm the worship pastor around here. So hi, nice to meet you. And maybe I'll meet you later. But we're going to continue this Take Your Stand series, and so we are on the home stretch here. Next week, Scott is going to finish this series up and talk about these last few verses of this passage that really kind of pull all this together and help us get all this. But today, we're actually going to hit one of the last metaphors he uses in this, because we've been kind of this full armor of God, the soldier metaphor, the armor of a Roman soldier, and he's going through that. And this is one of the last ones as far as this kind of soldier metaphor. And then next week, Scott will kind of bring the piece that kind of brings everything together. And so we've talked about the belt of truth. Right, we talked about the belt of truth, about how this is the thing that held everything together. It wasn't even just a belt for them. It was what kind of held all the other pieces together. Other pieces of armor would have been strapped to this. And so the belt of truth, this is the foundation, the things that hold it all together. This is Jesus Christ. This is the truth of God's word. The breastplate of righteousness, we talked about that. This would have been, of course, something that made a Roman soldier very distinct. It would have known who they were. It protected your heart, much like the righteousness does for us as well. And then having your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The sandals. They wore sandals. Can you believe it? Soldiers wore sandals at some point. That's crazy to me. But they were specifically designed. Scott talked about this, that they had some little like hooks in them, almost like something to dig into the ground to help them stand their ground in a battle, which kind of had a part to do with how they fought, which is the next thing is taking up their shield. A couple weeks ago, I talked about that, and they used a massive shield, just a massive shield that they were using these incredible formations, which would have been part of having to stand their ground as they kind of pushed forward. But this is the faithfulness of God, right? And our faith in God and our trust in God that protects us. And then last week, Jeremy talked about the helmet of salvation, okay? The helmet of salvation and how that marks us and how that guards our mind, helps us renew our mind. And so if you missed any of those, I don't really have time today to go into all that. And so if you missed any of those, I really encourage you, jump back and check those out. They're online. You can watch those or listen to those. But today, let's remember what the whole point of this series is. The whole point of this is not just to talk about the armor of God, like maybe you did in kids' church, you know, or whatever. This is about taking our stand against the devil's schemes. This is about you and I being able to stand against the evil of this dark world. That's what Paul says. And Paul says to stand your ground, and he says, and after you've done everything, to stand. He's saying this is the bottom line. We have to stand our ground. And he was saying, even in spite of even regardless of the evil that we find around us, or really in some ways, even all the more as we see evil prevalent around us. That's exactly the context he has here. So the all the more you see this prevalence around you. And man, what better time than this that we see like all this evil, this growing around us in a lot of ways. The devil's schemes, the way he tricks people and confuses people and takes them into things. And he's saying, stand your ground. In spite of all that, as you see that, when you've done everything else, we've got to stand our ground. That is the point of this passage of scripture in the series that we're in right now. This response that Paul is calling for is just like Joshua responded in Joshua 24:15, one of my favorite verses of all of the Bible. When his people weren't all standing firm in their faith, he was kind of getting ready to pass the torch, and he said this, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Man, I love that passage. He said, you know what? Maybe your parents didn't serve the Lord. He said, maybe your friends aren't. Maybe the place you're living in is full of people that aren't serving the Lord. And maybe people that should be God's people, should be believers, don't really seem like they're serving the Lord. But he said, as for me, as for my family, as for my church, we're going to stand our ground. We're gonna serve the Lord. And that is the exact heart that Paul comes into this. We're going to stand firm in our faith. We are not going to let the enemy take any more ground here. And so that's exactly what Paul is calling us for. as believers in this passage. And so he says, so prepare yourselves. He says, so therefore put on the full armor of God. Okay, and a soldier would do that to prepare themselves. Okay, to prepare themselves for the battle. And he said, there's a battle going on and you need to prepare yourself as you see all this happening. And so we get to verse 17, which the first half Jeremy talked about last week, says, take the helmet of salvation. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit. I just happen to have a sword right here. How cool is this? Thank you to Jay Burt. Wait, ready? Oh, that's the best sound ever. You know? Isn't that the coolest? He gave me the one that's not sharp because he didn't trust me to. I haven't gotten to that age yet, but someday dad's going to give me a sharp one. But listen, this is pretty cool. It's a 1930s naval officer sword, right? It's pretty sweet. I think I need one of these, but I'm going to put it away because this is old and I might break it. So I'm going to put this back down over here. But the interesting thing is that is not the type of sword that the Roman soldiers used. That's actually a very common, like most of us, we see a sword, we're like, hey, that looks very similar. But a Roman sword looked like this. Okay, this is what's known as a gladius, okay, which I think is interesting because the word gladius is actually just the Latin word for sword. So like in Latin, every sword is a gladius. Like it just means sword, but it's become the common term. Like if somebody's talking about this Roman sword, they call it a gladius. It's become kind of the label for that. And this would have been a Roman foot soldier sword from about maybe 3rd century BC to 3rd century AD, okay? So definitely we're in 1st century AD right here, and so totally the type of sword that they would have been talking about. When he said sword, this would have came to mind, okay? And it's, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, but they carried this massive shield, and this was actually pretty small. The blade was about 2 feet long. I mean, give or take, there's a couple different, kinds or models of this, these Roman swords that were used through the time, but they're all similar and right around that two foot long blade. And because it was made to use with one hand, okay, it was made to use one because they had this massive shield on the other arm that you couldn't have used two, and so it was very short and made to wield with one hand. And so this was the Roman soldier's offensive weapon. This is what Paul gets to. And so again, when they heard this, that's what they would have thought of. Now, if you're anything like me, when you see this sword, all you think of is Russell Crowe, right? Like, he's about to wreak some havoc in the Colosseum, right? Like, have you seen the movie Gladiator? Please tell me you have. It's a classic. Okay, but the interesting thing is, the word gladiator, same thing. It's Latin for just like swordsman. I mean, it just means like someone who wielded a sword, but we of course, we hear Gladiator, Russell Crowe, Colosseum, you know. But this was totally, like I said, this was the offensive weapon of a Roman soldier. And I think it's interesting when we look at this kind of analogy is he's getting, all of the other things are the protection stuff, protecting the heart, the head, the armor, that's what kind of its whole point is, right? Other than the first one that kind of just held everything together, everything's been something that guards you, protects you from the attack of the enemy. But the sword wasn't that. You had the massive shield for that, right? The sword was an offensive weapon. And so when Paul gets to this point, he's saying, you need to be a swordsman. You need to take up the gladius, the sword of the Spirit. The sword that is, when he just tells us, he said, what's the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God. It's nice when he just translates it for us. He says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so Paul, looking at this Roman soldier, we've talked about this throughout this series, but in case you haven't been here, you know, he was in chains. It's just a couple verses later, he'll talk about how he's in chains right now. He's writing this, arrested in prison, most likely either chained to a Roman soldier, okay, those chains, or he would have been chained to the wall and there's a Roman soldier guarding him, okay? They did it a couple different ways. But the point is, he's looking at this Roman soldier and he sees that sword and he says, that's the word of God. That piece, that's the word of God. That's the sword of the Spirit, and you need to take that up. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. So also here in Hebrews, you see that sword-like language, right? You see that same idea. This was talking a little more about the precision of that and the word of God. But the thing is, there's actually two different aspects of the word of God kind of being highlighted here in these two different sword-like analogies here. And the New Testament was written originally in Greek, okay? Wasn't written in English, Jesus wasn't an Anglo-Saxon, you know, he was a Jew. Okay, there's all those things we just kind of assume, okay? And it also wasn't written in English. I always call, when you see that, like, classic, you know, Jim Caviezel-looking Jesus, I call him Anglo-Saxon Jesus, you know, because, like, he didn't probably look anything like that. But also, the New Testament is written in Greek, okay? And so, in Greek, there was a few different words, I think maybe three of them, that were throughout the New Testament that were translated as the root words were translated as the word of God, like the word in that sense, talking about the word of God. And so I want to talk about two of those, though, today, two of them really common ones. And the first one is logos, okay? Logos would be referring to the, is the general revelation or knowledge of God that forms the basis or the foundation of what we believe. Okay, this would have been the content of somebody's proclamation when they're proclaiming the word of God. Okay, that's what logos is talking about, kind of the essence of God, the essence of what the words are saying. That's what it's talking about. So in Hebrews 4:12, that's logos. It says the word of God is alive and it's active and it penetrates. It's saying the essence, the content is powerful. The content is living, it's active. Okay, God breathed out is also called the word of God, right? And so that's what that's talking about. And this is the same word used in John 1:1. Okay, the word was with God and the word was God and the word, in the beginning was the word and the word was with God and the word was God, okay? That's that same, that's logos. And then in verse 14, same thing when it says the word became flesh in John 1:14. So we know that whole thing, when they use word, they're talking about Jesus. It totally makes sense. And I point this out just so you guys understand. That's not talking about the essence of God, the content. That's why Jesus could be called logos. He could be called the word of God, okay? Because he is the physical representation of that. I mean, it's just this idea of it's that content. It holds it all together. And even when you go to, remember we made this link. We're talking about the belt of truth, about how Jesus is the way, the truth and the life, right? And then here in 1 John, he's called the word. He's called logos. And that's saying this is the thing, the word of God, the logos, the Jesus Christ, he's the belt. He's the thing that holds everything together. And that's why you get this idea of logos can be used for that. But logos is not the word used in Ephesians 6:17 that we're talking about today. The word there is rhema. Some of you may not have heard that one. Rhema, a rhema word, okay? That refers not as much to the content, and I'll talk about how these things are all linked, of course, because we're talking about the word of God, but not as much to the content as much as it does a specific truth conveyed to a believer at a specific time for a specific purpose from their lips, okay? It's talking about, and we'll talk about how these things are linked, but like Luke 5:5, this is when Peter had and the boys were out fishing and they hadn't caught anything, and Jesus said, throw the nets on the other side. Right, he told him that, and it's in verse 5, it says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all day and night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Because you told me, that's rhema, because you said to do this, I will do it. And of course, they caught so much fish, they could hardly haul it in. Luke 3:2-3, same thing here. It says, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the desert. And John, son of Zechariah, would be John the Baptist, okay? And it says, came that he went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Okay, so the word of God, the rhema, came to John saying, it's time. It's time. His call in life was to prepare the way of Jesus. But it was the specific word saying, it's time to go. It's time to go and preach this message. It was the specific word telling him here. And so all this to say is not to forget something very important here. It's called the sword of the Spirit, right? Talking about the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God. And so this idea of a rhema word is actually very similar to, or kind of that same idea of, when we look at 1 Corinthians 12, okay, and you see the spiritual gifts, okay, and one of those in verse 8 is a message of wisdom, okay, the gift of wisdom, and it's the idea of when I get, the Holy Spirit gives me just the right thing to say at the right time, or the right thing to hear, or right thing to proclaim at that point. They're really kind of, it's not this idea of like, here's this and here's that, it's this idea the Holy Spirit will speak to us a word for you in your situation, exactly what you need to proclaim, maybe to pray, to take back to God, to speak to somebody else. That's the concept here. It's that same idea. So God giving you the right thing. And just a side note here, these things are linked, okay? Sometimes when we talk about it, we start diving into the Greek and you're like, well, this is rhema and this is logos. And it's like, I do that, I'm not to like overcomplicate it, because I know some of you are like, I can hardly speak English. Why are you telling me the Greek? I'm just trying to get, you know, and I have said many times to myself, you'd be better off studying the word of God with a dictionary next to you, an English dictionary, than a Greek one. Like, because like sometimes we just need to, I used to carry a Merriam-Webster dictionary. I still have it somewhere in my bag with me, because I would, as I studied for messages, I would look up, because in English, we just have multiple definitions for something, and that all kind of pulls together. But I'm saying there's nothing wrong with studying Greek, but I'm not doing that just to overcomplicate it. I want to just give you the picture here of the difference so that we can understand in the context of what we're talking about. Because remember, the context is we're fighting a battle. The context is that we need to hear from God so that we can advance the kingdom of God. That's the context. Because he said, in this fight, Paul is saying that we need an offensive weapon. You'll need a rhema word of God. You will need to hear God's word in a specific way for a specific purpose in order to cut down the enemy and make way for the victory of God. Okay? That's the context. So I'm kind of bringing you back to that just so you see where he was going with this, is saying this is an offensive weapon. This is when we can speak to something directly. When God, the Holy Spirit, can download some information to us and we can proclaim that. And that's an offensive weapon. That's something we can do. Okay, because some of us have this, like, what can we do in this fight? And this is that offensive weapon. We are preparing ourselves for the spiritual battle. And remember, this is not a battle against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, which is why our sword is a sword of the Spirit. And it's the word of God, and we can proclaim that. And it does amazing things. So how do we arm ourselves? It says take up. This is another one. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we started kind of made the turn in here. Instead of put on, it said take up. And we've got to take up the sword of the Spirit. Well, how do we arm ourselves with the sword of the Spirit? In other words, how do we prepare ourselves or position ourselves to receive rhema words of God? Because if we want to take up the sword, we've got to, what can we do? What can we do? Okay, so I want to give you kind of some practical steps here so that we can take up the sword of the Spirit. The first one is this: know the word. Know the word. Guys, you don't know how hard it is to have a sword right here and not play with it. Like, it's just like, I'm like 12 all over again. It's like, oh, there's a sword. But know the word. Okay? Here's the thing. You have to know God's word. We have to know God's word. And even talking about his logos, I mean, just who God is, we have to be people of the word of God, okay? 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says this: all scripture is God breathed. There's that idea of the essence of God, right? And is useful for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Look, we have to know God's word. We have to be people of the word, but people that know his nature and his ways. Okay, and that is one of the steps of, we're going to position ourselves even to hear these rhema words of God, hear a word for a specific situation. We've got to be people who know the word. Because remember, all scripture is God breathed out. It's the essence of who God is. And Jesus talks in the book of Matthew about people need to know him, like know him personally. And we have to be people that know him. Because on one note, I'll just say this. There are times, I'm just going to shoot straight with you, there are times where we are looking for that rhema word, especially if you grew up in any Pentecostal circle, like rhema, I know that word. You know, like the rhema word of God in a situation to speak to something that God has laid out in his commands pretty clearly in scripture. There are times, like, if I just know the word of God, it's like I would know God said multiple times, don't do that. You know what I mean? Like, there are just times, like, I hate to say it, but, well, actually, I don't hate to say it, but it's like that we're looking for a rhema word of God. Really, it's like if we just know God in his heart, we would know that decision. It's just, there's a practical element to that. But also, there are times where the rhema word of God, and I'll talk about this a lot today, that it comes as, man, God laying a scripture on your heart. How many of you ever had God lay a scripture on your heart, right? Okay, where it just like, man, God spoke, it's like this scripture, and it just seemed like it was like that rhema word where it really specifically spoke to that situation. Well, I can tell you this, I've never had God lay a scripture on my heart that I've never read before, that I didn't know already. Like, I've never had, like, you know, the Lord says, Chronicles 7:2 says, you know, but it's like, I don't know what Chronicles 7:2 says. I'm just going to be honest with you. You probably don't either. But you should read the Bible. Know it, you know? But my point is, like, I've never had it be like, oh, I don't really know that one. I don't remember what that is. It's always something that I knew, that I've studied, that I have. And we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But if we know the Word of God, we're going to be spoken to in the specific. The Holy Spirit can use that, but we've got to be people who know the Word of God. And one other thing to note, whether God gives you a scripture or God gives you a word that is specific for a situation that's not necessarily, hey, the Bible says this, and that speaks. Even what Scott just spoke a few moments ago, I mean, that's a rhema word. I mean, that's something that he felt like, man, God needed you to hear this. And it was like a specific word. Okay, either way, even if it wasn't a scripture specifically or not, it still has to line up with scripture. Anytime God speaks to you, it has to line up with scripture, because God's never going to tell you to do something that he's already, something that goes against something he's already commanded you to do in the scripture. Okay? Because again, that's where I'm talking about the link between this idea of like a logos and a rhema. It's like, they're not two separate things. They're not two separate gods. The content is still there. Like when he told John it's time to go, he was preaching repentance. Okay, he was preaching the message of God, the logos. He was preaching God's word, but it was saying, this is the time now to do that. This is the place to do that. There were some specifics there, but either way, it's got to line up with the Word of God. And that's one of the things that sometimes, you know, we're just, and depending on how you grew up or whatever, you might be looking for that kind of off the wall. You might have heard that thing of like, the crazier it is, the more it's God. I just don't buy into that necessarily. Yes, there are times where we need that. There's something that's like, God's going to make us take steps of faith, okay? But it's got to line up here, okay? It's got to line up here and not be something that goes against. So all the more reason to know the Word of God. Because sometimes it's like, hey, how do I know God's voice? It's like, well, if I know God's Word, remember, it's all scriptures God breathed. That means I know who God is. I know his nature. I know his ways. It's kind of that thing of like when you recognize someone's voice. Or you ever said like, oh, that sounds like something so-and-so would say. You ever had that where somebody... That's the same idea. When we know God's word, it's just like, man, that sounds like God because it lines up with this right here. So second thing is this, meditate on scripture. Meditate on scripture. And this is different. This is a different point, okay? Knowing God's word and meditating, it is a little bit different. Because here's the thing. It's not just about reading God's word, but chewing on it, okay? How many of you guys know what cud is? We're in Northern Indiana. Everyone's like, yep. Cows chew the cud. I know what cud is. You know, it's like, we know, right? Okay, if you don't know what cud is, though, cows chew their cud, okay? Cud is essentially pre-chewed food, okay? So I don't know everything about how a cow's digestive system works. I know some of you do, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't really care, okay? I just don't come up and explain. I do know this, okay? I do know that they have several chambers in their stomach, okay? And so what they do is they'll feed... Okay, eating that grass or whatever they're eating, okay, and they'll chew it, they'll swallow it, it'll go in that first chamber, and then they'll, yeah, gross, I know. And they'll chew that, that's called cud, and they chew the cud. That's gross, isn't it? It's really gross. So good thing lunch isn't for a little while. Okay, so, but here's the thing. The reason they do that is because when they chew their food, whether it's the first time, anytime they chew, they create saliva, just like any of us do, but for a cow, cow's saliva has a specific like an acid that helps that first chamber of the stomach to digest food correctly, which in turn helps the whole digestive process for them, okay? And so the more they, it's one of those things like what they say is like the more they chew their cud, the better they will, their stomach will work and their digestive system. So therefore, the more they chew, the more they can feed, and then the more milk they'll produce. You guys see how this works? You guys see where I'm going here? Joshua 1:8 says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And so in that same way, the more we chew it, the more we feed on it, the more we can feed, the more we can learn, and the more that we can produce from that. Okay, and so the word of God was never meant to just be read, but chewed on, digested, meditated on. God's word is not just to be read, so that it isn't just stored here, but here. Because if you're anything like me, stuff that's up here, it doesn't last long. But man, if I can get it in here. Psalm 119:11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And then in verse 15, it says, I will meditate on your precepts, your laws, your word, and fix my eyes on your ways. Say, man, if I've hidden your word in my heart that I may act the way I want to. And in a couple of verses later, it's basically saying what I'll do then to store that is I'll meditate on your word. I'll fix my eyes on your ways, and that will get it in here. And here's the thing. When we store up God's word in our hearts, it's there long term. Okay, and it affects our actions and our words. And I can tell you from my experience that when I study and meditate on and love and get fed by the scripture, and that's the way we store it in our heart, that's the way we get it there, it's a whole lot easier for it to be recalled here when it was stored right here. And that's and here's the thing. I know some of you might be thinking like, wait, I thought we were talking about the whole Rhema word of God thing and that we're gonna be able to speak specific things. But let me tell you this, in my experience, which may be different than some of you, okay, but talking to a lot of folks, it seems very consistent, that most of the time, the normal way that God gives me a Rhema word, or a word of wisdom, whatever you wanna call it, is by dropping a scripture in my heart and mind. It's almost always based on that. I'm not saying God has never spoken anything else, but for me and a lot of people, it's dropping that scripture. Even if you don't know like exactly where it's at in the Bible, you'll remember the essence of that and say, well, God said this, and then God will speak that in your life. And so it's that idea that if it's in here, it's a whole lot easier for God to just pull that out and say, this is for right now. Because remember, his word is living and active. It's useful for all kinds of situations, okay? Let me just give you an example. So many a summer, I have taken kids to camp, teenagers to youth camp. Jeremy knows what I'm talking about, okay? He's getting ready to go here in a couple weeks. And so I did this for, 11 years, 12 years, something like that. And as I got older, it just got harder. I don't know. It's like I got more and more now. I don't know what was going on, but if you've never been to camp, you should try it sometime. You should talk to Jeremy. He'll take you next year, okay? It's quite the experience, okay? But, as I got older, the whole thing of being worn out was like more normal. And I can tell you, I'll just let you know an insight. As a leader at camp, there's a lot of benefits to being a leader at camp. I love being a leader at camp. It was so great. But one of them that's tough is the day sessions. Okay, so like these like service type things during the day that usually be right before lunch, okay, and you just stayed up late the night before, okay, and again, old, you stayed up late, tired. In the morning, you were playing some ridiculous game outside, and in some kind, how it was always a ridiculous heat. Like, even if it wasn't forecast that way, it was just always like so hot the day you're playing a game outside, and you do all that, and you come in, you're supposed to like sit down and listen to someone, okay? And so they've actually changed the way they do some of that, and they've done a good job of changing that for that reason. But so I was in a day session I just prefaced the story with like, that's my spiritual level right there. It was just like, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake. And then that was just how I was, okay? So just saying, just being honest. I know pastors aren't ever supposed to fall asleep, but you know, just like you're like, okay, focus. Okay, so. But actually, this session was actually really good. I actually don't remember exact content what was going on, but they kind of spoke for a short period of time. And then the goal was like, hey, go get with your counselor and have your counselor, your leader, pray over you. And he wanted us to pray over the students and pray just specific prayers over them. And so, again, this is my spiritual level at that moment, a little bit like, oh, wow, okay. And so I also was that year the only male leader from our church, okay? And so I had all of the guys that came with us that year I was their counselor. And we're talking like 15 or so guys, give or take. I don't remember the exact year it was. So there was a lot of them, you know, that are coming. Like, I got to pray over all of them. Like, they'll go, and we're not talking like they're like all separated and I'm going to go pray over them. I'm talking like they're all gathered together. We'll all pray and I'll lead out over them. And so, like, I got to pray like 15 or so times. So you can't just say the same thing over and over again. And so I was honestly in one of those moments. I was like, okay. You know, I just like, God, I need you in this moment. I don't want this just to be like, let's get through the motions because lunch is coming, you know, whatever. And so I started praying over that first guy, and I was just asking God just to speak. And I was praying, and God just laid a scripture in my heart. And so I just prayed that. over that young guy. And I'm telling you, in that moment, it was just like it hit him. And it was just like you could feel it, you could see it. And so I prayed that, and then I prayed for the next guy. And God dropped a different scripture in my heart. And I prayed that over him. And the same thing on almost every one of those guys. I prayed over him, it just like it just hit. You could tell God was speaking to them. And every single one of them, it was a different scripture that God laid in my heart, and I prayed over them. And I even talked to some after, and they were just like, man, that just hit exactly where it was. And again, you could see it. I mean, you could see it. Everybody was kind of feeling the same way, but then we hit those things, and it hit their life right where they needed to hear it. And it was just like, man, it just, the Spirit of God was moving on them, okay? And I'm not going to tell you, that doesn't always happen. I'm just saying, that doesn't always happen. I've had times where it's like, man, just pray the prayer of faith, and you move on. But in that moment, man, God was speaking those things to me. And I share that story not to say like, every time I pray, like I said, not every time that happens, but I share that because every one of those scriptures that God dropped on my heart that I prayed over them was something that I had stored in my heart. Something that God had spoken to me at some point. Whether it was something I had studied before, whether it was something that during a message, it just really hit me and I just really chewed on that. Maybe it was even something back from when I was a teenager and God had spoken to me. And then in that moment, though, God was able to recall those things. And here's the thing, meditate on his word. Store it in your heart so that God can feed others out of the storehouse that's in you. Because that's one of the ways, I mean, if we want to position ourselves to be used in with rhema words of God and God to speak to others, we want those experiences, we've got to be a storehouse of God's word. And I'm not saying you got to memorize all of it. We need to just meditate on some of it. Meditate on the things that God is speaking to us so that they're stored in our heart. Because when you have a storehouse in you, man, God can just pull things out of the storehouse and say, here's the time. This is why I spoke that to you. This is why I gave you that ambulance. Same concept, okay? Third thing is this, ask. Ask. James 1:5 says this. Now, any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. And here's the thing. This may not be for everyone today. I know some of you might feel like you've been asking God for a word for a long time in a situation, and that's not, you know, you're feeling like, hey, why are you telling me to ask? But there are others of you that you try to figure it all out for yourself, and you don't ask God. I struggle with this sometimes. I like to figure things out. It's like, I got this, I can figure it out. If we do this, and I, you know, trying to give advice or whatever it is. But the thing is, what I really need to say sometimes is, God, I need a word from you right now. One of the ways that we can even hear words from God, a message of wisdom, something specific for a specific situation, is just asking God, recognizing that I need a word from God for this. I can't figure this out. God, I need you to speak. I can't face this on my own. I can't answer this on my own. I don't know. God, speak to me. Speak to me. And just a practical tip, as we've been talking about this, for everybody, ask God to lay a scripture on your heart. Even specifically, you know, yeah, ask God for a word, and he's going to speak to you in whatever way is best for you, because he's a good God and he knows what you need. But ask God to lay a scripture on your heart, something that you can hear, and it's going to just bring you back centered in Christ or in that moment. You know, sometimes, like I said, sometimes we're looking for that off the wall word, something that's going to be just really, but oftentimes the most powerful things are when God just speaks that scripture, lays that scripture on your heart, and it just brings perspective right back in the center, brings everything right back for God's will for your life. And that's where it is. So just challenge you, ask God to speak to you. Say, God, I need a word in this situation. I need you to speak to me. Fourth thing is this, speak it with boldness. Speak it with boldness. Look at verse 19. I'm not going to go into all this because Scott's going to go here next week, but I just want to look at verse 19. And it says this, it says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. Even Paul is saying, when he said, pray for me, he said, pray that God would give me words so that I can fearlessly proclaim the gospel. And I just want to challenge you. These words that you've been given, when God speaks to you, a rhema word, when God gives you a message of wisdom, this is God speaking to you. This is God declaring the truth to you. It's gonna be something that's exactly for that time and that situation, exactly what you need to hear or proclaim. And so because God has spoken to you, man, we can be bold when we speak that. It should take that fear away. Just as Paul said, pray that God would speak to me, because then I can be fearless. And so I encourage you, when God speaks to you, man, be bold, be fearless, and speak those words, declare those things. And maybe that means that God has laid a scripture on your heart for your family or your life, and you declare that scripture over your family, you speak that out loud, you speak that back to God, and you say, God, you have given me this scripture, you've given me this promise, and I'm gonna declare that over my life, I'm gonna declare that over my family, my kids, and you declare it back to him, say, God, you gave me this, and I'm gonna stand on it. Or that you will be in a situation where you just need the right words to say. Even in this context of like to unpack the mystery of the gospel to somebody, and you're in that situation where you're like, I just don't know what to say to this person, and saying, God, I need to. And when God lays something on your heart, speak it with boldness, because God has spoken to you, and for just this such a time as this. And so even if it's for that, speak it with boldness. God is preparing things and doing things we don't even know about. So when we get it, we can be fearless, because God's going to use that. And when we speak it boldly. So I encourage you, when you do hear words from God, when you know, again, we got to line it up with scripture, it's got to be there. But especially when we know God's heart, when you hear it, be bold, be fearless, speak those things with boldness. You know, a Roman soldier in combat would generally, because they had that large shield, what they would generally do is they would lead with the shield and then they would thrust with the sword. Okay, that's how that was all designed, is whether they were in formation or not, they would lead with their shield. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about this massive shield and had this metal boss on the end of it. Okay, so it was made to lead with, and they would lead with the shield and they would thrust with the sword. And today I just want to challenge you, would you lead with the shield? Would you trust God when he speaks to you? Would you trust that God has that plan figured out? You know, I think one of the biggest detractors sometimes from us either hearing words from God, like a rhema word, or speaking those particularly, is just not trusting God when he speaks to you. Not trusting that this is either from God, or that it's like, is this, you know, kind of just having that fear maybe, or having that, is this going to just fall in deaf ears? Is this really what needs to be heard right now? Not having that faith to just step out from the behind the safety of God's protection where we've been, right? That shield where we're comfortable, and trying to advance that kingdom of God. And what we need to understand is that when God gives us a word, when he gives us a rhema, when he has already made, that he has already made way for us to advance the kingdom of God. Understand that. Like, God's faithfulness is there. And when we lead with that shield, when we trust God, I've been behind that, and it's sometimes a little scary. We gotta move that, so that we can thrust forward, so we can speak those things, and this is how we advance the kingdom of God. And just know that, understand that God is prepared the way. God's faithfulness is ahead of you. And so when you hear a word from God, trust him. Trust him. He wants to speak to you. God wants to speak a word for you. Whatever situation you're in today, God wants to speak a word for that, and for you to declare that, and not only just stand your ground, but we're talking about the offensive weapon, so you can advance the kingdom of God forward. And so I encourage you, trust God. We need to realize that when we step out from behind that shield too, when we step out from behind that and we use that word, when we speak those things, that God's not going anywhere. In Matthew, Jesus said, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age, when he was telling them, go preach, proclaim, baptize people, go advance the kingdom of God. And he says, and surely I will be with you. And sometimes when we hear words from God, we know there's something we can understand. We can be bold because we know that God has paved the way for that. And this is exactly what needs to be heard. And when we heard or proclaimed or spoken to somebody, and when we do that, the kingdom of God is going to advance. So trust God, lead with the shield. Understand God's not going anywhere. And when God speaks to you, okay, we should know his voice. We need to meditate, we need to be a storehouse and bring all those things. We need to ask God for those words. But then when he speaks to you, Man, speak it with boldness. Because this is not just a defensive weapon, this is the offensive weapon. And I think it's just, when Paul wrote this, he's talking about this is the battle, we need to stand our ground. But when he gets to the end, he says, take up the sword. And you didn't pull the sword out unless you're trying to move that way. And so let's move the kingdom of God forward. Let's advance it, and let's position ourselves to hear words from God so he can use us to do that. Amen?